Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Wednesday. We'll say hello to Terry McCormick, Titan Insider and Main Street Media. That is where you can find his work. Terry, how is it going up there in Indy?
Well, Mike Borgonzi spoke with us today, and he didn't give away too many secrets from the company store, but he did reveal a little bit to us regarding the Titans and their draft evaluations and whatnot. So that was kind of an interesting little tidbit as he was asked to assess the three pass rushers at the top of the draft, being Arvell Reese, Reuben Bain, and David Bailey. So it's interesting that, you know, and how he did that. He said each one of them is a little bit different, you know, quite a bit different, actually. You know, Bailey has the speed around the edge and the length. Bain, of course, there's the concern with the arms, which he kind of downplayed. But he said, you know, he's a very tough guy and a very fierce guy. And he said that Arvell Reese offers the versatility to play inside or outside if you need him to.
Did you get a sense if he, and I know he's not going to obviously come out and say this, but did you get a sense on if there was one he liked more than the other, or if he seemed happy with all three, and if one of those three fell to them, that would be a good pick?
I got a sense that he'd be happy with all three, and any time up here, you know, it could be a smokescreen, but yesterday when we talked to Robert Sala, and then again today, when we talked to Borgonzi, it really does seem like that they kind of like Reuben Bain, just the playmaking ability that he has. I don't think they feel like the arm length is a major concern. And yesterday, Sala said, you know, you have to look and see, you know, if it's a problem, and you have to look and see if this guy is the exception or the rule. And he said the production was undeniable. And then today, Bain, when he had his media availability, I asked him about meeting with the Titans, and he said, yeah, I had a formal interview with him and I killed it. And then Borgonzi confirmed that. He said he did really well. And then he was quick to say all three of these guys interviewed really well with us. But yeah, there seems to be at least an affinity for Bain in terms of what they're saying publicly. Now, that could be a smoke screen or that could be the real deal.
I know Bain referenced it, but I mean, I would think Cam Ward can help this a little bit because they have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, he said, as part of the question I asked him, he said that, you know, every time Cam came back to Miami this year to watch them play, came back to campus or whatever, he said that he would talk to Bain and say, I'm going to do what I can to get you up here. So, you know, who knows? I don't know how much pull Cam has. Remember, you know, he thought he needed to be on in at least partly on the coaching process, but I don't know that he's the one that made the call on Robert Sala.
Right. We're talking to Terry McCormick, Titan Insider, Main Street Media. Borgonzi today, you know, you've done this so many times, Terry, that sometimes they like they're talking, not saying anything. Did Borgonzi lead into any kind of looking free agency or another prospect there? Because it's so hard to kind of dive into what the guys are trying to say when they don't say anything.
Yeah, I mean, they become kind of a master at it when you get to this level. You know, they give you a nice little sound bite, but then when you go back and you listen to the sound bite, it's like, well, he didn't really tell me anything that I didn't already know, at least not much. But, you know, he's not tipping his hand, but I think, you know they're going to have to be active in free agency because they have so many holes on the roster that they can't fill them all in the draft. Ideally, you would like to fill them in the draft as many as you can because you control those guys' contracts while they're still young and you have them for at least 4 years. But with the free agents and all, you know, I asked him about that. And, you know, he said that really there's two different kinds of free agents. There, you look for those ascending guys, maybe guys who are coming out of their first contract that their teams didn't have room for, or maybe they're a guy that needs a fresh start somewhere so that they can be more productive. And he said you look for those type of guys, but then at other positions, you may just have to fill it with a veteran that you know still has something left in the tank and stopgap it for a year or two until you can, you know, draft somebody else.
That's a very weird question. I'm a big body language guy. When Borgonzi or Sala is talking about Reuben Bain, did they perk up or like, yeah, I mean, how was that energy when they talked about Reuben Bain?
they perked up. I mean, I think they did. I mean, you know, Saleh especially yesterday, you know, because I was talking to TD with it afterwards. I said, am I reading too much into this that, you know, that Saleh really seemed to like Reuben Bain? And he said, no, you're not reading into it at all. And I felt the same way. So I think we all kind of noticed that when Saleh, you know, when Reuben Bain came up. And, you know, normally when they're talking about guys, you know, they try to speak in generalities, but, you know, he seemed to really like him, and Bogdanovich seemed to second that today.
You remember when I was with you when it was 2010 draft night, the Titans really wanted Jason Paul-Pierre. Remember that night?
Jason Pierre-Paul,
and they took Derek Morgan, and like the energy in the room was like gone. Like I don't want the same situation, Terry, on draft night where at 2 the Jets take Bain, at 3 the Cardinals take Bailey, and at 4 you're sitting there with Arvell Reese. I just think it's now we've all bought into Reuben Bain. Anything else will be a massive disappointment.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's still early in the process, but you know, one of these other guys, you know, you still got to, you know, they got to do whatever drills they do here. They've got to go. You got to have your pro day with them, your private workout, all that sort of stuff. So somebody could still nose out somebody in terms of the pecking order. But it does seem like, you know, that, you know, if you put too many eggs in one basket, that it does seem to be a little bit of a letdown, at least for the fan base, if that guy you know, doesn't become available. And the same thing happened 2 years ago, Joe, when everybody said they need Joe Alt, they need Joe Alt. And they, I think they were in agreement that they needed Joe Alt. And the L.A. Chargers took him right out from under them. And then they had to pivot to J.C. Latham and, you know, put on the show that J.C. Latham was the guy that they wanted all along.
Yeah, true. Any remarks up there about John Robinson getting a second chance with the Dolphins?
No, but I'm happy for J-Rob that he's getting another opportunity. I haven't really seen many Dolphins people around to, you know, talk to anybody about it. But I did text J-Rob and congratulated him, and he was very appreciative of that. And I did get to spend about 30 seconds with Mike Vrabel today, shaking his hand as he was going at the same time as Borgonzi was at the podium. Borgonzi finished up first, so I drifted over and listened to the last question or two of Vrabel.
How was that?
Vrabel was Vrabel, you know. he was himself, you know. I mean, you know, he's definitely one of one. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Terry McCormick is with us, TitanInsider.com and Main Street Media. Is there a scenario in your mind, Joe and I have been talking about this, that you move out of 4 and add more draft capital?
Yep. I asked Borgonzi about that as well, and he said that one of the things that you do there, you just have to weigh, are there more players that you like? In other words, if you trade back to 7 or 8, are there a handful of players that you like all about the same? And can you get one of them? Or do you really like the player that's there at 4 and you're afraid you'll miss out and the quality will drop off if you don't take that guy? And I think that's kind of where they are. Now, maybe a little, he admitted it may be a little harder to move up for teams wanting to move up this year because there's only really one quarterback in Mendoza that's probably going to go off the board in the first 4 or 5 picks. So if that happens like everybody thinks and there's not a quarterback, then it would take a really, really special player that somebody really wanted, sort of like what the Atlanta Falcons did a few years ago when they jumped up and got Julio Jones. You know, it can be done, but it has to be a very special player that somebody really wants, and they'd have to offer you a mint. Because otherwise, if the player's that special, why aren't you taking them yourself?
Right. I know that according to a couple of your tweets, Borgonzi was complimentary of some of the top receivers in the draft, but also said there's some value in the middle rounds, and then went on to say about Chim DK, feels like there's still another level with him. Receiver is going to be a talked about position both in the draft and free agency. What were some of the senses you got from Borgonzi on that spot?
Yeah, I think that it is going to be a revamped receiver room. I think DK and Iowa Manor obviously will stick around. I think they probably move on from Calvin Ridley unless they don't, you know, add somebody in free agency that can help them. And then they'll look to the draft. And if they go edge in the first round, which I think a lot of people are now leaning toward them doing, then, you know, probably come back with a wide receiver in round two or three and hope to develop that guy into a weapon that Cam Ward can use. Because, you know, as much as we talk about the need to rebuild the defense, and that absolutely is something that has to be done and pronto, there's also a need to give Cam Ward some more weapons to give this kid a chance to succeed. Because I think last year, you know, with him being a rookie, part of the struggles that he had was because he didn't really have anybody that he could look to, a security blanket, if you will, a guy that he could look to and say, all right, it's 3rd and 7. The rush is in my face. I need to look for somebody that can bail me out and move the chains. He didn't really have that guy. You know, I mean, and even as bad as, you know, the Titans played, you know, the previous couple of years, you know, when they had a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, you saw how, you know, a young quarterback in Levis would look for him almost too much at times because he knew D-Hop was the guy who could get it done.
Terry, the NFL is the greatest reality show for us guys. It's always changing, all the drama. But when you see, and you covered him, to see and understand that Malik Willis is going to make at least $30 million just absolutely blows my mind. Good for him. I mean, good for Malik Willis. But it just shows, like, with the – and this is the Titans. I mean, he wasn't going to be the guy anyway. But I just – it's $30 million for Malik Willis. I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. I really don't have a question. That's more of a comment than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Jim White and I were talking about that a little while ago. It's like, you know, he suddenly is – perhaps the top available free agent quarterback on the market this offseason.
Right.
And this is a guy that, you know, when he was here with the Titans his first 2 years, we were wondering why they had drafted him at all, because,
right,
because he really struggled. But it just shows you, that in the right situation and given enough time, that a lot of these quarterbacks that wash out, I mean, you look at Sam Darnold, who's now a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
You look at Baker Mayfield. You look at Jared Goff. You look at a lot of these guys that maybe washed out in their first turn or their second turn, and you wonder why it didn't work out. It's really more of this. It's the same teams that struggle to develop quarterbacks, but yet when quarterbacks get with good organizations, suddenly there's players around them. Suddenly there's stability in the scheme and the system and the coaching, and all of a sudden these guys are not as bad as people thought. And Malik Willis is a prime example of that.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. Borgonzi's gonna they go through free agency and they'll do all this other stuff, and yet the most asked question will be, what are you gonna do about Will Levis?
Absolutely. You know, and right now I think it's about a 50-50 chance that Levis is on the roster on opening day. I mean, I think, you know, they should probably, you know, I think Will Levis in his heart, you know, he wants to start somewhere, have a chance to start somewhere. The question is, will it happen this year for him, because he missed all of last year with the shoulder surgery? So it's possible that he stays here and he's the backup behind, you know, behind Cam Ward to start the season. And, you know, if something were to happen and he gets an opportunity to play, then he needs to go out and make the most of it. But if he looks good during preseason, there's such a need for quarterbacks, it's not out of the question that some team could give them a draft pick on cutdown day and they move Levis, you know, somewhere else. The question is, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, it's a matter of with this, with Levis, is he just needs the right opportunity, just like a lot of guys do.
Right.
And you're going to see that with Cam Ward. He's got to make this the right opportunity, and they've got to help him succeed, because that's not what they've been doing with their quarterbacks. They've not been helping them succeed.
Terry, great stuff. Appreciate it as always. Talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, and also Main Street Media. We will have more coming up next, including talk a little Music City Grand Prix at 2 o'clock. Don't miss that, but we'll have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, The Game.